I believe that these services are now being put on, back on the website again, should anybody want to listen to them or pass that information on for somebody who might like to hear them but can't because they can't be with us. It's really lovely to be with you, and just so that everybody knows before we get to the intercessions, we're really sad that Anne Catchpole died earlier this week, and we are upholding David and Helen and Kate in our prayers. And Helen, we're so glad that you want to be here with us, because we want you to be here with us so that we can uphold you and say how much we love you. So I've got Jean here this morning,
Good morning.
who's going to help, and Liz is going to help next week. And maybe the skies will be blue next week, Liz. You never know. So this is the third Sunday in Lent, and I hope you can see the order of service. So let us worship our Father God. Creator God, as we gather today, we know that we have often failed to choose well. Be with us as we hear again the stories of your limitless love and measureless grace. Amen. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Are your pockets empty? Come, eat, and be satisfied. For money cannot buy such soul-enriching fare as you will find in the presence of our holy, merciful God. Amen. And we pray a prayer of confession. Father God, you give us the gift of abundant life, providing for our physical and spiritual needs. We're sorry for taking your provision for granted. We're sorry when we lose sight of your loving mercy and get wrapped up in our own self-indulgent desires, for failing to rejoice and sing your praises, for focusing on the negatives instead of the positives, for being judgmental and not giving others a second chance. We repent, Father God. Help us to turn around and to bear good fruit. God has mercy on all who turn to him. He freely pardons and forgives our sins. We are free to begin anew. Amen. And Jean is going to read our first Bible reading.
This reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning to read at verse 1. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come eat, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
Thanks be
be to
to God.
God.
And our psalm this morning, our verse is taken from Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. Glory
Glory
to
to
the
the Father,
Father, and to
and to
the
the Son,
Son, and
and
to
to
the
the
Holy
Holy
Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now,
now,
and shall be forever. Amen.
Amen.
And Jean's got our gospel reading.
The Gospel reading is taken from Luke, chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Repent or perish. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Thanks
be
be
to
to
God.
God.
Have you ever been offered a second chance? Perhaps in a friendship or a relationship, a job or a piece of work? What were the consequences of this second chance and the feelings it prompted? Being offered a second chance can be a wonderful, glorious thing. On Sunday, the British tennis number one, Jack Draper, won the Indian Wells Masters Championship, demonstrating extraordinary skill and consistency for a player aged only 23. This triumph propelled him into the world's top 10 and is much cause for celebration because he's been plagued with injuries in recent years. Just 8 weeks ago, Jack had to withdraw from the fourth round of the Australian Open due to severe hip pain. Clearly, tennis is a sport he loves, but the cost of competing at this level is high. In a recent interview, he described times of isolation as a teenager, travelling away from home and family for long stretches, and he considered quitting. Jack has a two-word tattoo, somebody said, from a poem by Edgar Albert Guest. And it goes like this: somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he, with a chuckle, replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he'd tried. The play, Dear England, has had an update. It's the story of ex-England manager Gareth Southgate, and it first hit the stage in 2023. The real-life Gareth and his leadership of the England team inspired the playwright James Graham to pen a work that looked at the way Southgate took the once despondent and fairly unsuccessful England team to a group of players working together, loyal to their leader, and crucially, winning games. The intrigue was that the mild-mannered Gareth didn't behave like famous successful club managers in the past. He embodied an empathetic, kind model. He took advice from different sports. He talked about responsibility, kindness, generosity, and unity, and shifted the culture in the team that, well, okay, they didn't lift much silverware, but it took them closer to the top than they had been since the infamous 1966 World Cup. And the new play out this week adds the update of the 2024 Euros to the story and the way Southgate led the team through the campaign. But perhaps more significantly, the play looks at the way Gareth is formed, how his ideals and values are shaped. And of course, the striking feature is that much of his learning, motivation, and passion for the work rests on his moment of complete public humiliation and failure, the missed penalty in 1996. The miss was seismic, and it could have been the end. But Gareth was given and took a second chance. He replanted his failure, allowed it to grow in new soil, and it bore rich fruit. Today, Gareth Southgate is no longer the England manager, but he continues to grow and influence others. He has just delivered the Richard Dimbleby lecture, looking at the toxic culture young boys can inhabit when they are free from good role models, a conversation that is important and necessary. And if you haven't listened to it, I would urge you to listen to it on iPlayer. I found it inspirational. For the writer of Luke chapter 13, Gareth Southgate is a living example of the power of the second chance. Which leads us to today's gospel reading. This passage comes just ahead of last week's reading, in which Jesus speaks openly about his identity and coming death. Ahead of that exchange, Luke records for us some teaching about the kingdom of God and the narrow door by which it is entered. That set of teachings is introduced by today's passage. And just like I have picked up on those current news stories, Jesus picks up on some current news stories of the time. People who died in a building as it collapsed, and the mistreatment of some pilgrims who have come to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple. While Pilate was well known for his ruthless behavior and inflammatory and cruel treatment of the Jewish people, including massacres, the raiding of the temple treasury, and the bringing to Jerusalem of Roman flags bearing the image of Caesar. The question being asked and addressed is whether the people suffered at the hands of Pilate or in the ruined building were being punished for their sin, were being punished because they had done something wrong. Jesus is clear that those who died were not being singled out for judgment, but rather he warns judgment is coming to everyone. And the only way to survive this is to repent. And the time to repent is always now. Repentance denotes a change of direction. It is an encouragement to stop living any old way and to live in a different way, which brings different results. The point is to stop being out of step with God and instead to live in God's way as the people of God. And I don't know about you, but it's hard. It's not easy to change old habits. And it's why this season of Lent is, I believe, so important. It's an opportunity to take stock and to recalibrate, to learn new habits and patterns, to allow the Holy Spirit to work within us so that we are transformed. We shouldn't be the same old, same old. We should be constantly refined by the work of the Spirit. And as we should come to expect, Jesus does not answer the disciples' questions with a direct answer. Instead, he tells a story. And what an odd story to tell at such a moment. What on earth does a fruitless fig tree have to do with Pilate's bloodthirsty killing spree, or with the massive building disaster failure that toppled the tower at Siloam? What is Jesus saying? And if I was asked those questions about suffering and why people suffer, how would I reply? When the unspeakable happens, what default settings do I revert to? Well, I can tell you the sort of things I might think and say, and the sort of thing that is said to me. Well, nothing, Steph, happens outside of God's plans. You see, Steph, God grows our character through tragedy. Great. Don't worry, the Lord never gives anything, anyone, more than they can bear. Doesn't feel like that at the time. All things work together for good. Nothing is ever lost. And then I know that other people have it worse. The problem with every one of those answers is that they hold us apart from those who suffer. They keep us from embracing our common lot, our common brokenness, our common humanity. And Jesus challenges his listeners' assumptions and tells them to repent before it's too late. We all need to repent, whatever our circumstances. We need to engage in the reality of another person's pain rather than thinking, well, there but for the grace of God go I. We need to engage in the story rather than the platitude. Platitudes in the end are flat, and formulas are one-dimensional and lack emotion and empathy. Theories don't heal, and questions that call for shallow answers aren't worth asking in the face of tragedy. But stories? Well, stories are different. Stories open up possibilities. Stories include others. They unmake what we think and they transform us. Why did those Galilean Jews die? Why did the tower fall? This gospel passage isn't the only time Jesus warns against judging others. It's good to remind ourselves that we never know the full story behind someone's actions. Think of an iceberg. You only ever see the top 25%. You don't see the 75% that drives it. But back to the story in the fig tree in the gospel reading. The tree gets a second chance. It's not too late. Notice too that the second chance is not in isolation. It's not left up to the tree to find its own way. There is help. There is a gardener who wants to help, support, feed, encourage, to put in a little bit of effort in the hope that the tree will respond. And he doesn't expect a fast turnaround. He gives the tree time. The parable Jesus tells invites questions in several directions at once. And I can't possibly exhaust them, none of us can, but here are a few to get us started. In what way am I like the absentee landlord, landowner? How am I refusing to get my hands dirty? Do I pronounce judgments I have no right to pronounce? And in what ways am I like the fig tree? In what ways do I feel helpless or hopeless, ignored or dismissed? What kinds of tending would it take to bring me back to life? Am I willing to receive such intimate care? And will I agree to change? Have I become complacent when it comes to repentance and amendment of life, assuming that I have limitless time to become fruitful? Have I forgotten that the same patient God who gives me another year to thrive will also someday call me to account? And in what ways am I like the gardener? Where in my life am I willing to accept Jesus' invitation to go elbow deep into the muck and manure? Where do I see life where others see death? How am I willing to pour hope into a project I can't control? And am I brave enough to sacrifice time, effort, love, and hope into this tree with no guarantee of a fruitful outcome? Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I lose patience with the process. But God does not give up on us, does he? When we, as clay, sit upon his potter's wheel and allow him to mould us, he never looks at our imperfect form and thinks, "Oh, for goodness sake, that didn't go right," and throw us into his reject bin. He has another go and another. All our life, he will keep having another go, just so long as we turn to him each time and admit we got it wrong. And can he please, please give us a second chance? When we lean into Jesus Christ and depend on his Holy Spirit, I believe we can lead remarkable, maybe ordinary, but remarkable lives. We can live beyond what we might imagine with love, justice, and forgiveness. Jesus said he came that we may have life and have it in abundance. So this morning, let us thank God for not just one second chance, but a lifetime of chances to turn to him and receive all that he has for each one of us. Amen.
Amen. We now come to the intercessions. Lord, we choose to turn back to you. Help us to start afresh, renewed and restored. Lord, we come to you admitting our weakness and failure. Thank you for giving us the chance to turn around and start afresh with you. Indeed, Lord, you are the God of second chances, and we know in our lifetime you have been the God of third and fourth chances, giving and restoring us a countless number of times. We are profoundly grateful. We know that without you, we would have no hope, and yet, because of your love, we remain your children, even if rather wayward children at times. Lord, we choose to turn back to you. Help us to start afresh, renewed and restored. Lord, as we think about the disasters that Jesus spoke about, we remember things we have heard on the news this week that has shocked or saddened us. We remember particularly the Middle East as the ceasefire has crumbled and more people are dying. We think of the progress of diplomacy between Russia, the USA, and Ukraine. Lord, may your words of peace and love rule in these places. May conflict cease and goodness return. We also pray for those places which are no longer in the headlines, but are still seen and remembered by you. We thank you for the aid agencies that work tirelessly to bring supplies, medicines, and comfort. Lord, may your people be fed, clothed, and safety wherever they find themselves. These are big prayers, Lord, but you are a big God. And we pray for the people or places that never make the news, where only you see the hurt and the pain. We know how much it grieves your heart of love. We pray for those who are trafficked or abused, those who suffer from addictions and long to be free, those who are in prison or feeling desperately alone. We long to see the world restored to the way in which you intended it. Lord, may your kingdom come. Lord, we choose to turn back to you. Help us to start afresh, renewed and restored. Lord, we think of those who we have struggled to give a second chance to this week. Perhaps a friend or colleague who let us down, someone in our class who was annoying, someone in a shop who was rude, or someone who cut us up in traffic. A family member that is trying our patience. We pray for each of these people now, whether they are known to us or just an incident we remember. Give us a grace to forgive and the patience to accept situations that we cannot control. And we think of those who have given us second chances this week. We pray for them now with gratitude for their kindness and patience. Lord, we choose to turn back to you. Help us to start afresh, renewed and restored. Lord, we bring to you all those we know who are suffering for whatever reason. We pray for those who are sick, those who are sad, those who have had a difficult diagnosis and don't know what will happen next, the confused and anxious, especially. We bring before you Jack, Rosemary, Chris, Mary, Brian, Derek, Anne, Hilary, Roger, Ian, David, Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, Tiverton Hospital. And we bring before you those who have family and friends of those who have recently died: Olive Blackford, Shirley Hutter, Robert Butler, Shirley Lee, Anne Catchpole. Lord, you care about each and every situation we face. We do not have to go it alone. We ask that you will bring your peace into each situation we have just prayed for. May there be restoration and healing and renewal of all hope, no matter how hard everything may seem. Lord, we choose to turn back to you. Help us to start afresh, renewed and restored. Lord, as we go forward into the new week, may we go from here restored and refreshed by having spent time with you. Send us out, filled with your love, to be peacemakers and forgivers. Help us to see you in the eyes of everyone we meet this week and to serve them as if it is you we are serving. Give us a new strength and determination to follow your way, no matter how hard, challenging, or glorious it is. Lord, we choose to turn back to you. Help us to start afresh, renewed, and restored. Amen. This is a collect for the third Sunday of Lent. We beseech thee, Lord Almighty, look upon the hearty desires of thy humble servants and stretch forth the right hand of thy majesty to be our defence against all enemies, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we look to the Lord's Prayer. Trusting in the compassion of God as our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our
Our Father
Father
in
in
heaven, hallowed be your name.
heaven,
Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Loving God, thank you for your promise to do something new in each of our lives. Help us to give people a second chance as you do for us today and in the week ahead and always. Amen.
Amen.
Christ, give us grace to grow in holiness, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and all those we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jean.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for your address again, Steph. It's very
Oh,
inspirational. Thank
yeah, indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I didn't think it was my best effort this week, to be
Oh,
honest. So.
I thought it was terrific.
Yeah,
Thank you.
indeed.
I think if you can listen, I don't know if you have listened to Gareth Southgate, but it's certainly worth a listen to.
Thank you.
His lecture, anyway.
Thank
This
you.
morning's service on Radio 4 was terrific as well.
Was it?
Yeah,
I
absolutely
heard
brilliant.
that.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I heard it too,
Yeah, if you can pick it up on BBC, whatever it is, it's worth listening. It sounds, yeah.
It was good.
Good, good. Well, lovely to have your
Thank
company.
you. And Steph, can you try and remember the good box, please,
Oh,
today?
golly, I don't even know if it's charged.
Well, we can charge it probably when we get there. Just bring
Okay.
a bag.
Okay, right.
Thanks.
Love to you all
Just
and see you soon.
one
Bye
thing.
now.
Brian the
Bye.
8 o'clocker, have you
Bye.
had any news, Steph? On
No,
Brian
and
the
I've got him on my list just here that I need to go and see him this week if I can.
Oh, send our love, please.
Yes, I will
We're
do.
missing him.
Yeah,
Please.
we are. Love to you all. God
Yeah.
bless.
Oh,
Bye
thank you so
bye.
much.
Bye
Thank
bye.
you.
Bye
Have a great
bye.
week, everyone.
Yeah,
Bye
and
bye.
you. Bye bye.
Bye.